Hello, seals, and all the accompanying krillers, sharks, fish, fishermen, whalers, stowaways, melting glaciers, Titanic survivors, Krakistanians, core worker outers, and all the consenting adults of SWC. This is the Fish Fry on SCTV. So, how are you? I am joined tonight by the anti-teetotaling and vixenous host, Spite Check. And we have a very special guest tonight. He is one of the frontrunners of the presidential race and star of the hit television show,
This is a Fish
You're
Fry,
Fucking and Fired and Getting so Creative with Back you. Hair. Donald Trump will be joining us. Actually, I'm Glitch is telling me in my ear that Donald Trump canceled at the last minute, so that's too bad. We don't have him tonight. All right. So I don't understand how he expects to win an election by ditching us, but whatever.
Sorry, Bonks. I really fucked up.
Yeah. Why? What do you mean? You didn't start yet?
I couldn't get Donald Trump.
Oh, okay.
But I'll try for next week.
All right. It's all right because we had a plan anyway in the interim, and that is we're going to do Meet the Clubhouse tonight, and our first guest, our first interviewee is Spycheck, because we are in a position where you have to trust us to handle your stats correctly, and there needs to be reasons for that trust, and we want to bring them to you. So we're going to interview Spycheck tonight. But first, there is no Clubhouse news. Is that right, Spite?
No, there's nothing to report at this time. The only thing I'll say is that we are almost ready to launch player lookups, and we're stoked.
All right,
we're here. Okay.
One thing I wanted to do before we start the interview was to do the Bonks apology, the weekly Bonks apology, because it's inevitable. I'm going to apologize for having last week a guest on that insulted most of the people he mentioned. That's not what we're about. So sorry about that. And what else? I also want to apologize for rambling about Kenya, which I know nothing about, so let's just forget I said that. And lastly, I want to announce it's the Christmas season, and I don't think I have Clubhouse consent for this, but I personally am running the Adopt a Bonks program, which open to anybody. I've been running it for 27 years, and nobody has ever taken advantage of it. So if you want to adopt a Bonks, that's out there. Email me at bonksbonksbonks@sealsclubhouse.com. It'd be great to receive an email. I haven't yet. So what we're going to do is interview Spycheck. And the format is we have some clean questions for her, and we have some dirty questions for her. And then we're going to take some questions from Twitch. So just post your questions, and I think we will start first. I think the question that I want to ask everybody is, how did you find Bitcoin, and how did you find SWC?
Bitcoin was purely by accident. I was involved with playing online poker before Black Friday, and then when Black Friday happened, of course, I was freaking out. And was just trying to find an alternative, or a way that, you know, like I was trying to think, oh, you know, do I need to live somewhere else if I want to keep doing this? Cause I was making a decent living on Full Tilt and, enjoying myself immensely. And, so actually a friend of mine, told me about Bitcoin, and because Bitcoin was treated totally different than currency, introduced me to the at that time Seals with Clubs, and the rest I guess, is that.
So when you say you were making a good living on Full Tilt,
yeah,
what were you playing?
I was playing Sit and Go tournaments. Occasionally, I'd go for, you know, I made it to round three of trying to go for World Series of Poker entries. They do tournaments that would get you into the next, you know, the next level. And they were giving away, I think, 100 seats that year when I was playing. I made it to the third round. So I made it through like thousands and thousands of people to get to the third round, and made it, I don't know, probably midway through at that point, and didn't actually make it. But mostly what I would do is in the evening, I'd sit down and I'd play a nine top sit and go tournament. And I did really well at stuff that was over $30 buy-in. So I'd pick a buy-in that was like $30 or $50, sometimes $100. And I would just play a couple of nights a week. And it was great because it was, you know, immediately tied to your bank account. It was like instantaneous pretty much. And yeah, like that. So, I think that might be weird. I don't know. I was terrible at, I found that I didn't play well at tables that were, you know, $15 or $10 or $5. It was just so weird, but I felt like I could really push people around at higher limits. People believed me or something. I don't know.
That's interesting. So Mr. Dr. Beerman is asking in Twitch, do you play live?
I used to play live a lot. When I was in Washington, I would, card rooms are legal, but you'd have to go like to a casino to get any real action. But locally I had three good card rooms that I would play at, and I'd maybe play a couple of times a month.
So my first question, which is very related, is that I have heard rumors, and they were confirmed about 20 minutes ago, that you had played some high stakes tournaments, and I would like to know how you fared in those.
I guess the most recent that would be considered higher stakes would be doing the LAPT, the Latin American Poker Tour. I sort of planned my trip to Chile to happen at the same time that the LAPT was there. And oh my God, the casino down there is so awesome. It's like, it's one of those super old school, like what you'd see in, I don't know, old movies, where they've got the really cool rectangular poker plaques, you know, and like super fancy. It was really fun. I was really lucky. The first 2 hours of the tournament, the first round, I got seated at the featured table, and so, you know, it was cool. It was like I'd never played where I was like actually on TV before, and so it was definitely a novelty. I was seated to the left of the previous year's winner, Carter Gill. He was the previous year's winner, and he was to my right, and he was pretty much owning the table and being a total fucking asshole. But I was able to get some money off him. People were, I think, really intimidated by him because he had won the previous year, and so people were folding to him a lot, and I was pushing back, and you know, I'm a pretty tight player, but when I pushed back, he was, you know, irritating. He also took up he's one of those players that as soon as they sit down, their knees are bumping into you and they're taking up super lots of space with their elbows, yeah. You know, and they're sprawling all their stuff in front of them out. And they're just taking up a lot of space at the table and trying, and it's totally the way, it's the first way they sit down at a table and try to get people to tilt. And that was definitely his approach. He was also irritatingly, like, everyone at the table was irritated with him because he was sitting there and doing shit on his iPad the whole time, which I think is totally rude. I get you're playing a long tournament, you're bored, but it's the first round, you're on television, and you're sitting there with your iPad and, like, Instagramming, you know, this year's. I don't even know what he was doing. I don't even care, but he was definitely a dick. What?
Did he Instagram you?
No, but I was one of maybe 4 women in that entire room. I think especially in Latin America, there are even fewer female poker players. I was one of, like, maybe that's, I think that might be why I was put at the featured table, is because I was a chick. I don't know.
All right. So when you repop him, how does your heart react? And were you able to hold it? Do you have experience live like that? I don't know how I react in that situation.
It's an incredibly visceral experience playing live, you know, and certainly I can play online and I can have moments where my heartbeat will increase or whatever. But when you're playing live, man, when your heart is beating fast, you're just giving everything away. And so trying to maintain being cool and calm, and trying to actually having to think about what you might look like to a person across the table that you're in a hand with, instead of I can look like whatever I want online, but live you've got there's nowhere to hide. So
you were able to handle it well?
Yeah, I handled it great. I made it through 8 rounds of that tournament. People at the end of the day were going to be moving on to the second day. And so I was in the 8th round of 10 rounds for the day. And I got, I hate to say it, I got pocket aces. And I got taken out by the guy who wound up actually going on to win that section of the tournament, the Chile division. And I think he did well in Brazil as well. But he hit a flush. So he was like four cards to the... He was like 4 cards to a flush on the flop, and he already had a giant chip stack, and I was just trying to double up, and he was like, okay, I'm either gonna take this chick out or I'm gonna take the tiniest hit to my giant chip stack. So it was totally worth it, of course. So that's all. If that's all she wrote.
In my mind, I probably would have pictured me stabbing him in the throat, but in reality, shaking his hand.
It was a fantastic day. You know, it was one of the things that, it was one of so many things that I had in mind for that trip anyway. It was just one day out of an amazing month I spent doing incredible things. So it was like, you know, it was just a fantastic experience. And to play at that level was really fun. And and so now I have a great story. Totally worth the buy-in. So...
All right, so one of the clean question from Kissa is he wants to know about your upcoming trip. Is there an upcoming trip?
I don't have anything planned at this time. I was looking at going to Hong Kong, but right now, the next thing for me before I take a trip is to decide where I'm going to be buying a house and going there. So that is my priority right now. Right now I'm just, I'm in the Northern California mountains at my vacation spot and doing research and working on clubhouse things because I've got a breather right now and don't really need to do anything. So I just want to do something. I was like looking at a job in Norway the other day, just kind of like, oh, Norway sounds interesting. I wonder what the scene's like there. Yeah. I could ski to work. That would be so great.
All right. So Kiss's follow-up was based on your upcoming trip that doesn't seem to exist yet. So I can change that a little. Yes, do you plan on swimming topless in Chile? So I guess I'll change that too. Have you ever swam topless anywhere?
In places where I can swim with not a bathing suit on, I absolutely prefer that. So if I'm in a place where it's cool to do that, I'll totally do that. If I'm in a place where I'm not supposed to do that, you know, I won't do that. But yeah, of course. I'm a skinny dipper, of course.
Okay. So when I asked Potmo to submit questions, I said one clean and one dirty, and everybody else followed that protocol by giving me a clean question first and then a dirty question. But Potmo went straight to, how hard are your nipples right now? And... And do they stay hard when aroused or cold? And that kind of really, you're swimming topless, I guess. So let's.
let's get they're not. They're not right now because I'm a little bit nervous. I've never been interviewed before, so they're not right now.
So nervousness means no nipples.
I would say that probably when they are. They're glass cutters.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think that will make him happy.
Okay.
All right. So his clean question was, yes. It's a change of subject, but if you were to recommend a movie to yourself as therapy, what would it be?
Oh, a therapeutic movie. What do I like? I like something silly and adventurous, like maybe an old classic like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom or something like that, for just, you know, just lightening things up. I certainly have favorites and I certainly have a big media library, but I think I'd go for something silly like that.
Why is that therapeutic? Indiana Jones.
I don't know. I mean, it's just got all the elements, you know. It's got super sexy Harrison Ford, and I like Japanese anime. I like things that are a little bit over the top. I like it when, you know, I love Die Hard. I love it when things are sort of unrealistic and over the top, and, you know, someone makes that perfect shot. So things like that make me laugh, and they're just feel good movies, you know.
Which one was the best one of the Indiana Jones series?
Yeah, the first one, duh.
Okay.
Yeah. No question.
I didn't even see the last one, the newest edition. Have you?
No, I haven't.
So Dr. Beerman has submitted another question. It is, I know the answer already, so it's an unfair question. But if No Limit Hold'em doesn't exist, which game would you play the most?
Hands down, OFC. Pineapple. Yeah. Hands down.
Why?
No doubt about it.
Why is
it's actually taken over. I mean, it's literally taken over. I barely play tournaments anymore. I'm usually sitting OFC now. So,
really?
Yeah. I'm a little bit obsessed. I can't deny it.
When is that obsession going to hit me? Because it hasn't.
I should just sit. I'd be happy, Bonks, to sit down with you at a heads up table and just like talk stuff out and talk about it. It's just there's it's thrilling. It's very up and down. So there's peaks and valleys, unlike anything else. But also, it's just when I get it, I feel smart. You know, so it it gives me all those yummy, happy feelings when I'm doing well. It gives me all those yummy feelings that make me go, yeah, this is my game, you know? But it's also outrageously frustrating if you're not doing well. So
no.
It's definitely a learning curve.
Yeah.
Oh, we should take a break real quick, and we are going to be, we have 5 random Twitch followers that we want to send entry to into the Fish Fry tournament tonight. So I think Kissapig was going to give us 5 names of people. If he's there. Or Glitch, if you... What? Oh, okay. Well, when he is able to pop in, we'll make sure we get those out. And we do have late reg, of course, so if we don't get to you in time for the exact tournament start, we'll make sure you get your chips before reg is over.
Did I hear correctly there was a long one? A long late reg?
It's 24 minutes of late registration. Or
that seems normal.
I'm sorry, let me...
Right.
I apologize for that. It's 21 minutes of late registration. So yeah, it's not long. It's normal.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
But it's plenty of time.
Bronx's apology.
Somebody please remind me to reg if I don't make it. Because I am in tonight, and of course there's bounties on
all the clubhouse staff. There's a bounty on my head. There's all 5 chip bounties. There is a bounty on the winner of last week's tournament, Finch.
Finch.
Although Finch is not in it yet.
If you please.
Finch, yeah. You need to. It's a must.
It is a must.
All right, so I'm going to continue on.
Okay.
Carlo asks, how do you deal with tilt? I have a feeling that Carlo has been tilting lately based on his ace-queen losses to ace-king.
Oh, it's so funny, you know, Carlo and I, we have this running joke now. He and I are in kind of a bubble contest for the 5K every week. So I totally understand feeling like, you know, sometimes you'll have those days or weeks or months where you just feel like poker is kicking your ass, you know? And as far as tilting, though, tilting is definitely... I'm not a long-term tilter. I definitely feel like poker kicks my ass for weeks or months at a time, but it's outweighed by not feeling like that. But when I'm really tilting, how do I deal with it? Probably not very well.
Why?
Probably not the way I should. I have to walk away. Like if I have a player at the table that's tilting me, or if I have a situation that's really tilting me, I have to step away from the computer. I have to, you know, light a cigarette, just step away from it and try to find a way to come back in that's not bothering me. And a lot of the time, sometimes what I need to do is close the chat window if that's tilting me and distracting me, or I just need to mute a player or something, and then it doesn't affect me at all. So,
all right.
So that's how I deal with tilt, or that's how I don't deal with tilt.
All right. Here comes Carlo's dirty question.
Okay.
It is, would you rather fight 1 horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
I would rather fight 1 horse-sized duck. I think one-on-one I'm really good. A bunch of things coming at me, even if they're tiny and unobtrusive, I think would get under my skin, so.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to move to Lucky.
I don't know why that question was considered dirty.
Yeah, I think it was a...
Is that what people call dirty in Poland?
I think that was a misinterpretation of the word dirty. or what clean and dirty means, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it made me laugh when I saw it.
He's a gentleman. That was the worst he could come up with.
Yes, that's exactly
what. He does not have a sordid American mind.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so Lucky Ant, the two questions have such a diversion. The clean. What is your favorite memory of your childhood?
Favorite childhood memory. That's tough. I have a lot. I had a really sweet childhood. My parents were hippies, and everything was very. One of the things about the way they raised me is that they treated me like an adult. So nobody talked down to me, and I was able to sort of be around while there was really adult things going on. You know, I mean, I remember my parents sitting in a circle, like having a party, and I always got to be part of everything. And so, you know, I'd be sitting there and the group would all be passing around the pipe, the peace pipe and saying thankful things. And I don't know. I mean, growing up with hippie parents and spending time on the Yuba River and just being kind of a little wild child was really lovely. The Yuba River.
Where is that?
It's in Gold Country. It's like at the base of the Sierras east of the Bay Area.
Okay.
Huh. Nevada City, Grass Valley, that area.
Cool. So Lucky moved on from your childhood too. Have you ever had sex with more than one person? I'm assuming he meant at the same time. And
right.
If so, please describe the event.
I don't know that I'll go into much detail. I mean, we are sort of running out of time, but yes, I have had sex with more than one person. My sister gave me great. My sister was great. I had an older sister. She's 10 years older than me. And she, you know, she's the one that told me about the facts of life because no one was paying attention. And she was like, oh, by the way, do you know where babies come from or whatever? So she's the one who told me about the facts of life. She told me real, real information about drugs and which ones that were totally okay and I shouldn't be freaked out about and which ones I should totally avoid. And she was just really good that way. You know, she just told it to me straight. And one of the things that she told me was, try everything twice. Okay. She said, try everything twice. Cause the first time you might not get it right. You might do it, you know, like there might be something about it, about the dynamic that's going on that doesn't give you a realistic idea of what something is really like. So try everything twice. And so I think I have tried pretty much anything I can think of twice just to make sure I liked it or I didn't like it. And that goes with drugs and that goes with sex and that goes with relationships and that goes with, jobs and, yeah. So I've tried everything twice. I'm pretty clear what I like and what I don't like.
That is good advice for just about anything. And
I think so.
I've never heard it. I've heard try everything from David Bowie. Never try everything twice. So I have one final question. It is mine. Okay. It is my dirty question. Oh, okay. I have two dirty questions, but maybe I won't ask the one. But I heard a story from Potmo, I want to say, that is called Seals with Chubs. I would like to know more about that. Awesome.
Okay. Well,
that concerns old seals, I think, right?
Yeah, the old seals. Basically, I saw two people arguing in the chat one day, and they were, you know, they were doing their like puffed up, I'm so cool kind of talk, like you're a piece of shit. My dick's bigger than yours, blah. And I basically said, okay, you guys, put your money where your mouth is. Shut the fuck up. And tell you what, anonymously, I set up an account on Imgur, and I said, anyone who wants to anonymously actually get out the veritable tape measure and actually do a dick comparison, because that's basically what you're doing right now, I will anonymously judge any entries that I get, and you can do it either anonymously or not. And I just thought it was kind of a hilarious way to get people to stop fighting. Like, okay, just post your dick pic and let's settle this once and for all. So it was just a joke. It was just a lark.
And did you receive any?
I did. I got 3 entries.
Oh boy.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was funny. Like, it was, I was like, wow, people actually did it.
I thought you got way more than 3.
No.
By the way, the tournament is starting, guys.
Okay.
Anyway. I was under the impression that it was more than 3 too. Go ahead.
No. Oh, Glitch was just saying the tournament is starting, and yeah. We've got
we have put in Hot Sauce, Bert, Nate Detroit, and Smokey G. Guys, thanks for showing up on the Twitch chat. Your buy-in is on the clubhouse today.
We have 46 entries too.
46.
We almost met the guaranteed, and we probably will.
We're at 48 and rising. Yeah, we got 20 minutes of late reg now.
Oh yeah, I have to register too. I forgot to register. I'll register in late reg right now. So yeah, cool.
So Spite, my question for you was, probably just name a couple of your favorite artists, music wise. What are your tastes?
I started out with, of course, really good kind of 70s music. My parents were really into music, so I got a lot of Pink Floyd and Moody Blues and lots of Beatles. And my mom was a fan of John Denver, and so she'd wake me up with a John Denver song every morning. So like that kind of 60s and 70s music was definitely during my early years. And then I was a huge David Bowie fan. And then in my early teens, I got into punk rock, you know, sort of vicariously through David Bowie. I went from David Bowie to some of the people he was hanging out with, and, you know, Iggy Pop, and then got more into the punk stuff, and then sort of went into my Batcave stage where I was listening to a lot of Bauhaus and Sisters of Mercy, and being a very moody teenager. Yeah, I wanted to be a very, very serious grown up. So I was a very moody teenager, and would lock myself in my room in the dark. And
I understand too, you're a fan of Devo. I have a picture here of a cake.
Yeah. Are we not cake?
I'm gonna show them. Yeah.
You know what I loved about Devo? I mean, besides the fact that they were so breakout, they did something that no one had done yet. You know, I mean, they were on the cusp of electronica, of course. And I'm now a fan of electronica. I never thought I would be, but I am. But they were on that cusp, but they were a bunch of nerds. They were a bunch of math geeks. They were so smart, you know? And, I was just tickled with their music. It was so, silly and joyful, and their videos were so awesomely weird. And, you know, these are, in the early days of MTV, their videos were always, you could always count on their videos to be the weirdest and the coolest. So that was fun. I don't know what I am now. I have such a range now, but I'm definitely more kind of down-tempo electronic, backgroundy stuff. I get distracted really easy, so I like stuff without words. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at now, kind of settled into that. But I'm very sentimental about music. I grew up during one of the best times for music. I got to my early years with 60s and 70s music, which I thought was really like, wow, powerful stuff. And then got to really see the way music has led through my teens and early 20s. And so I think I have a pretty wide musical background. I'll even on a long drive, if I'm on a drive where I'm going through podunk towns and there's no radio station except country western, I'll just turn it on just because the lyrics are hilarious, you know? Like, so-and-so killed my dog and my grandpa, you know, died. And I don't know. It's funny. And it's all rhymey and kind of soulful in its own way. I try to be open-minded about such things. I hate reggae, though.
The one genre I hate is country western. I can do reggae.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do just about everything but country. Other than that, I have really similar musical taste to you. Similar background too.
That's how I felt too. Like, I always was adamantly against country music. I just think that, like, for the amount of time that I'm driving through an area where I've lost signal with anything good and I didn't bring any music with me, I can do 3 hours of country western music and well, get just entertainment value out of it,
I
mean, you know?
Like, I hate generic pop music. It doesn't matter what genre it is. And a lot of country stations play a lot of generic Nashville country that all sounds very similar. Yes. There's a lot of good country music, but it's not on the radio very often around where I live, unfortunately.
No, that's true. That's true. But that's how I feel about reggae. I jokingly call it that song because it all sounds the same to me.
You're like, right about that.
Oh, it's that song again.
And in that regard, I kind of prefer music that has like reggae influences rather than straight up, fusions.
Oh shit! I really have to log in and get on the list of players. I'm such a dork. What?
Does Glitch have a dirty question?
Would you like to play OFC again with myself and consent?
That guy was
good. My god, that was so hilarious. Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
We briefly had consent. He was not informed of what happened, but yeah, we briefly had consent with OFC, but then it was lost.
Consent made an appearance.
Oh, that's awesome. Nobody asked for him to come to the table, but he showed up anyway.
You know what? Nobody else asked for Spite Advice that I remember either. Seeing, at least.
Oh, Spite Advice? Spiteful Advice?
Spiteful Advice, yes. I have
well, I'm
one.
Not...
Yep, I'm
yes,
Naked.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm Naked has a question for you. Would you ever play OFCP with the Queen's version?
Huh.
I had a, it's such a different game for me, and I really need to practice it and develop a different strategy for it. I mean, Glitch, you know this, because you're a QQ player and I'm a KK player. I would be much more inclined, if I was going to switch up what I played, I'd be much more inclined to play AA, because I think it's very similar. And it's actually, it has a certain simplicity to it in that, you know that if you don't have AA on top, you're not going to Fantasyland. So it kind of dictates what kind of moves you're going to make.
Yeah, he just wants to know if you want to not be simple and play QQ heads up with him while he's naked.
I'd be happy to meet Yep, I'm Naked for a naked heads up match anytime he'd like.
Awesome.
But really? since I can't tell that he's naked, he won't be able to tell how naked I am either, because I might have socks on because it's cold here.
I just poured myself my first glass of wine, an Italian frappato. And what are you guys drinking tonight?
Ah, the usual.
I'm on my usual too, except. Tonight, instead of the Sauv Blanc, I'm drinking the Chardonnay. So, okay. And once again, I'm sticking with the Bassan. So, yep, Bassan Chardonnay. Oh, and I am officially registered for the tournament.
Cool.
So, shall we go to our 3-minute delay and do some tournament coverage?
Yep.
Sure. So that wraps up the fish fry portion of the show.
Indeed.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, and thank you for not making it too terribly painful.
too painful.
It wasn't too terribly painful, but you did have my consent, so. So, for this section, we're going to bring to close another episode of the Fish Fry Radio Show. We're going to turn down the sizzle to a slow simmer and play our pokers and plan for next week when we again turn up the heat on our fellow seals. See you next time, and stay online if you want to catch our tournament on TwitchCast, and we'll be in the tournament. See you there.
Bye.
Bye. Good night, you guys.